Hi guys and welcome. My name is Lynette Reed and I'm here to talk about UWP and how to design for a 10-foot experience for it. So let's jump in and get started. First, we're going to start off by talking about the UWP principles that we adhere to. The first one is keep it simple. What does this mean? It simply means having experiences that feel effortless. We design to reduce friction and to remove user error. We work to reduce clutter and to let content shine through any experience. Users should feel like everything just naturally works and fits. The next one is make it personal. People want, you know, to make technology their own, and they want to believe in helping, we're helping them do that. We design for things that make people feel unique. We design for experiences that adapt to people and how they're growing over time. The next one is think universal. We approach design fundamentals on an international level. What's appropriate in context for one, you know, situation and person may not always be the same for another culture or person in another area. Everyone has limitations that are constantly evolving, and we design technologies to extend to human abilities. And last but not least is creating delight. Creating delight is achievable when you stick to doing A, B, and C, the previous slides that you saw before, that instantly creates delight. In addition, you can do other little enhancements and tricks to make your experiences even more delightful and enjoyable for your users. So now let's kick off and talk about designing for UWP, just the general foundational pieces. First, colors. The Universal Color Palette consists of a curated set of colors that are used across the Microsoft products. The shared palette reflects the Microsoft brand principles and is one of the most unifying elements of the brand's visual identity across our products. Second thing is our type. As a visual representation of our language, typography is the main task to be very clear. Take into account the usability of your fonts, the distance consideration of viewing it like a 2-foot experience versus 10 feet away. Contrast between the front of the font and the actual background are also important to consider as well. And then, of course, there's our type ramp. This is a standard that we use across all of our Windows devices. And yes, this even pertains to Xbox as well. So it's something to be aware of when you're working across your system. Of course, you can do something unique as far as sizes, but we've found that this actually reduces the barrier by simplifying the amount of font types that are available and used. In addition, there's also the iconography. Good iconography harmonizes with typography and with the rest of the design language. They don't mix metaphors, and they communicate only what's needed as speedily and as simply as possible. The Sago UI symbol that was available previously before as legacy is now changed over to the Sago MDL2 type of iconography. So if you're looking to bring over what you had previously before, you can easily map it to the new Sago MDL2 style. Okay, on to UI framework and foundations. Now, if you want to deep dive on this and get a really good context as far as what's going on, what our foundations are, what we believe in, how to apply them, go to dev.windows.com/whackdesign and you can find out all of the information you need to get yourself established and going in that area. Okay, so now we've covered just the basis. Now let's get into actually designing for 10-foot, because that's what we're all here for anyways. So first, let's get into the principles that we adhere to for 10-foot experiences. The first one is simple. Within the Windows system, we like to create, we believe that TV is unique. We try to keep designs clean and reduce to the simplest components, just making sure that it's easy for people to understand and to translate and use. Here's an example referencing what that might look like. As you see, there's a really beautiful image in the background, and the actual content that's exposed is small and reduced down, and it's only down to the area that it needs to express. So it's a title, therefore, and the actual date stamp, and then a small description. You know, once again, reducing the amount of complexity of the screen, it's not needed at this point. The second principle is coherent. Apps should be intuitive and easy to use across the board. I should understand how to get around where I need to, where the focus is, and what content should do what and when and where. Here's an example of showing that you guys have seen probably numerously is the Xbox Home. It's very clear as far as understanding what the pivots function as well as the actual content that you can move around. So it's expressive, simple, and still cohesive as well. And then the final principle is captivating. Our most immersive and cinematic experiences take place in the big screen. Edge-to-edge scenery and elegant motion and vibrant use of color and typography take your games and your apps to a whole nother level. So feel free to be really bold and beautiful and expressive in what you're doing. Here's an example of that, you know, bold, rich colors being used through the experience, as well as having, you know, the avatar image in place here. Of course, the UI elements feel like they're kind of folding back and are displaced because that's not the primary focus of the page. So here's a few other things to consider as well through the experience. Space is your friend. Think less density, much like how you would for a mobile experience. That is a key. It will help you in longevity of your whole entire experience. As you can see here, here's a demonstration of showing Xbox again as far as the home experience versus the Xbox home PC version. You can see the density between the two is dramatic, and that is just, you know, to optimize for the actual experience for the user in both scenarios and experiences. Another one is legibility is key. Make sure that they can actually see it. It seems like a no-brainer, of course, but it is something to be aware of when you're actually designing your experiences. It may seem like it works, but you know, just take that in consideration when you're going through the process. For 10-foot experiences, we suggest that you try to stay above 24 effective pixels through the whole experience. And when I say effective pixels at 24, I mean when it's actually fully rendered at its full size. Try to, you know, mind not keeping it under 20 effective pixels, as that's really hard for users to understand and be able to read. And another thing we suggest is to actually test your experience from 10 feet away. It gives you a really good sense of the experience because, you know, at that point you're experiencing it much like your users would. So you'll acknowledge little nuances and things to modify and, you know, and consider as well through designing your experience. Another one is keep it simple. Reduce it down to under 6 when you're actually on a single screen. So that just helps as far as navigation, tax on user, and anything else of that sort. Another one is know your place. Make sure you always have a focus rectangle present through the experience. Once again, context is everything. And if I land on a page, it's great to know where I'm at when I first start, as well as when I'm moving through the experience. And then, of course, respect the safe area and always think about broadcast safe colors. That is a key you have to in the experience as well. For TV safe optimization, as you'll see on the left-hand side here, this demonstrates when you actually optimize the experience. On the right-hand side here, it shows an example of what it would actually look like when you bring it in by default. So if you're looking at, you know, bringing beautiful imagery and you want it to go full bleed, there's additional work you will have to do to have the best experience, but you know, it's definitely rewarding and worth it for users in the end. The other thing to consider as well is the actual size that you'll design in. So for XAML applications, you'll be designing at 540p, and for web host web experiences, it's at 720p. So that means your safe areas for XAML will be at 48 by 48 on your left and your right-hand side, and then 27 on top and bottom. And then for your hosted web apps, you will be at 64 on left and right side and 32 on the top and bottom. Another thing to consider, as I had mentioned before, was the broadcast safe colors. As you know, we have a full spectrum of colors. And the fortunate and less unfortunate thing on TV is because we deal with legacy, that means we can't have colors that go full spectrum. It may work appropriately on some TVs, but some other ones, not so much. So in instances of that, and to adapt for a wide variety of different situations, it's best to clip your colors down to 16 and 235 to stay within the calibrated amount. Why is this? Well, if your whites are too white, A, they can be hard as far as the actual text for legibility. You can have a lot of vibration and it can be very hard for users. Also going full screen white, that can be really hard on users as well, especially from a TV experience, it can be quite jarring and shocking. The other aspect of it is you can run into banding of colors issues as far as even with darks as well, and the way that it will abstract and remove blacks as well. So it's just something to be careful of and take consideration in when you're actually designing your colors appropriately. Another thing to consider is also the layout and how you're actually optimizing for controller. So the example here on the left-hand side shows an example of it optimized. And as you can see, you have your content, your title, and your actual metadata, and then your description, and then you have the buttons underneath. And potentially there can be other content that is exposed below that. By having the controller focused on play by default first, it allows for the user to go either up and read more description or proceed down the page easily, allowing them to navigate quickly and easily. The example showing it not optimized puts a little bit more of a tax on the user. Anytime they actually want to move through the page, if they're on play by default for the first instance when they load the page, they have to actually navigate through the more before they can actually get to the other content. So once again, being mindful of how you lay out your page and thinking about those experiences is really key. And another thing as well. So looking at the default controls, this is what you can leverage if you're actually building a XAML application. It comes, of course, equipped with this in there, which is great. We have a light and dark theme. As I had mentioned before, ideally on Xbox, we suggest going with the dark theme just because it's a little less jarring and harsh on the users. As you can see, even from this experience, it's a little intense as far as looking at the white color in the background. But this is definitely something you can utilize if you are building XAML, and hopefully you find it helps with the full potential of it. Of course, we ask that when you get the controls, you do make sure that you're having enough spacing and padding around them to help to optimize for them for the controller. Another thing too is the sounds. Sounds are definitely a key part of the 10-foot experience. It really makes the user feel like they're immersed in it. It's important to implement the sounds the way that they naturally reside within the 10-foot experience. So if you choose to create your own custom versions of it, then we suggest that you actually make sure that you have focus changes established and put in place there, as well as your invoke, your toggle, and then whatever you are doing for expanding and collapsing. As long as you have those key fundamental sounds in play, you should be good. But of course, by default, you can use what we have, and you'll be ready and set to move on. Okay, so now that we've covered kind of the basis of designing for the 10-foot experience, let's get into a little bit more as far as like the different pivots on how you're actually coding it. So if you're designing an actual experience with XAML, there are a few things you need to be aware of. So native scaling, this means you're going to actually be scaling at 200%. And this definitely affects if you're building XAML or C++ or DirectX. So something to be aware of. The other thing is you're going to design at 950 or 960 by 540. And when I say this, it's for designers and developers. There's no exception. In both cases, you need to design at this size in order to have the experience turn out right. Based on that, your actual title safe area, the playground in which you can actually play and build your experience, is at 864 by 486 pixels that you can use. And the other thing to consider when you're creating experience at the 200 scale factor with XAML is that you want to design in halves. Seems pretty much like a no-brainer. Great instance kind of example to pull would be if you were trying to build an experience, say, for the Xbox One home screen. So we design at 4 pixels. That would mean if you wanted to mirror closely to the experience that's already leveraged there, you would design at 2 effective pixels for it to course logically double and scale up to 4 effective pixels when it's rendered out fully. Of course, there's little nuances you have to be, consider as well, which are like if you want a single stroke for a line and things like that, that you'll have to do those in halves as well. It's a little bit of extra work, but when you put in the considerations and thought into it, you can actually have something come out and turn out well. Okay, so now we've covered that. Let's go into hosted web app experiences. So designing for a hosted web app experience, you're going to be scaling at 150%. Why? Because it actually works well and it follows a lot along with what we had for the Edge browser experience. And it works well as far as web conventions across the board. So in designing in this scenario, designers and developers, again, will design at 1280 by 720p. And your area that you can actually work with, and then your title safe area is 1216 by 648 pixels. And as I was mentioning for the XAML instance, same deal here. The only difference is it's going to be divisible by 1.5. So once again, little consideration. So if you're designing it for effective pixels, it will change to 6 effective pixels logically when it's actually fully rendered. So just be mindful when you go through the experience and make sure you're accounting for those things and you should be fine. Okay, now I've covered that. Now we're gonna talk about optimizing for 10-foot. So this shows you exactly what you get for default for the 10-foot experience. And we like to call this the just works options, which we consider acceptable. It's not ideal, but it will get you into the system. With this, you will get the scale factor applied by default and mouse emulation. And when I say that, with GamePad, there's an instance of seeing the little cursor, much like you see in the Edge browser, that moves around within it. So you'll get that as well. And then you'll get the automatic TV safe area applied too. So, but if you want to actually go through and optimize, which is what we definitely suggest, as it creates a more premium experience and something that your users will enjoy, there are a few steps you have to actually do in addition to create this experience. So that means you need to optimize for the gamepad, which is the XY focus. Doing the focus rec for TV as well, which will be great. It helps users to understand where they're at in the actual placement. And then you need to account for TV safe area. Of course, reduce density of your the actual layout. And make sure your controllers are bigger, much like I had mentioned, keeping the controls at a larger size. And then make sure you're integrating your MTC, which is your system media transport control, just to be clear on that. Or you can choose to use our media transport control as well. And then the other thing is to use adaptive layout to account for snapped apps. So it's definitely something you want to make sure that you incorporate too. Now, there are other methods, which one is like turning off scale factor, and I'm not going to go through that now, but you can find information on that, mouse mode, and then title safe area if you go to our msdn.microsoft.com, WAC Windows.UWP, WAC Xbox, apps, and then tailored for Xbox, and you can find that experience there and learn more. Okay. So we've covered all this great stuff. Now let's get into a couple examples of UWP experiences created for 10-foot. And I'll talk a little bit more as far as the experiences and things to consider as well when you're going through and designing your own experience. So the first one we're going to talk about is the Atmosphere app. Here's an example illustrating what the Atmosphere app looks like on Xbox and also on desktop as displayed. Now we're first going to jump into showing the example of what it looks like on the actual desktop. As you can see, the page itself is a lot denser. It illustrates a lot more content within there and gives you both the current day as well as other days wrapped in as well. You will notice that the area that I've highlighted on the top left corner shows the actual city that's a dropdown. Now, the difference between this one and why it's being highlighted versus the one that you will see later that shows an example of Xbox is within the Xbox example, we're actually illustrating and showing the city as well as the time that's associated with it. In context to here, of course, naturally, because the time is exposed on the bottom right corner of the actual system UI, we don't need to account for that. So as you're designing experiences, you will find that there's instances in which you need certain elements to be exposed, and other times you do not. Another thing through the page is also the fact that because it is a desktop experience and we have the real estate to use, that the actual full day is exposed more. There's, you know, context as far as the actual different portions of the day, as well as a description of what's actually happening at this current moment too. We also have the ability to expose more visually through the imagery, as you see displayed in the beautiful little bubble that shows the mountain. It gives a lot more, you know, ability to express the different temperature that's occurring at that time. Another thing is, because we have the space, we're able to actually expose more that's going on later on in the week as well. As you see, there's still a lot of data that's being exposed at this point. It's been reduced as far as the imagery, but it's a nice balance between the two that you can actually see and interact with easily. Now we're going to jump into the actual Xbox experience here. With the Xbox experience, we're able to really leverage creating something unique and helping to introduce the user and transition them through the beginning of it launching all the way through to the actual end state. Now, I'm not saying you can't do this on desktop, because you can as well. It's just in the 10-foot experience, you have even greater opportunity to really light up that entertainment or delight factor even more in some instances. And we took the opportunity on this one for sure. So once I've gone through the transition, I'm able to see the experience. I'm landed on this screen right here. And as you see, the actual screen has a lot less density of content through the experience. Once again, making it feel more casual, relaxed, and more of I'm just enjoying it unveiling to me versus I'm taking a deep dive and discovering the content. The other thing, as I had mentioned before, you'll see highlighted here is the drop-down menu. And as I had mentioned, that there wasn't a need for the actual time there, of course, in this instance, because we don't have time, you know, anywhere else that's visible. We placed it in there just to make it easy for people to identify what they were doing throughout their day if they wanted to see it a certain instance. Is this pertaining to right now or later in the day as well? Another thing is the actual pivots. This is a metaphor we definitely use within Xbox. It helps, you know, as far as grounding you in where you are within the page, which can be said for PC as well. But it's a great way to quickly jump from section to section. Also having it placed on the top and having the reduction of the amount of buttons or things to have to navigate through help greatly for the user to be able to move through the actual application. As you see, the user in this instance has transitioned over to show a 5-day experience. So once again, like I had mentioned previously before, there's definitely opportunities where you want it to feel more like a mobile experience. So in this, it shows the instance of it being more of a drill down or drill across in this metaphor of being able to expose the same amount of content that is displayed within the desktop view. The other thing too is you will notice that the actual data that's displayed has actually been reduced here. So we show instances of Fahrenheit, but we don't show Celsius. We don't give a little bit more as far as description of, you know, the actual day and listing out the dates on this as well, just because we're trying to reduce the complexity or heaviness within the actual experience too. Okay, so now we've covered that. Let's jump into the news app. So first off, the news app is a little bit different as far as a metaphor for the typical news app experience you would expect or see both on desktop and on Xbox as well. But you can see that in both instances, once again, there's a reduction of content that's on the Xbox experience, which is on your left-hand side, and the desktop version, of course, has more content as well. So let's take a deeper dive and look at the actual placement and the thought behind it. So this is illustrating the desktop experience. While there's more density that is in fact exposed, the choice here is to actually reduce the menu so it allows the content, again, to still be primary in the experience of it. The other thing is there is a lot of availability for actual text within this experience too. In desktop, you have that opportunity to be able to read more as people are in more of the mode of being in a productivity, kind of experience where they expect to sit down and digest the content, especially at the distance that they're viewing at. And the other thing is the fact of being able to utilize the space to expose more information pertaining to each article, which allows the user to be able to act on each one of the pieces, as well as to find out what they need right then and there without having to drill too far into the experience. Now, this is an example of showing what it looks like within the actual Xbox experience. It's completely different than how it looks on the desktop. You know, of course, the images are the same, but as far as the navigation and the content being displayed is a little bit different as far as how it's being conveyed. The navigation being exposed in this instance actually helps as far as with the controller. It's easier to, just literally D-pad over or joystick over to your left-hand side and be able to easily switch content blocks within there. The other reason is because of the fact it's a long scrolling list as well. As you see, the text itself, there's still some. This is, probably at the max you'd want to actually have, because once again, it can be very taxing on users to be able to read large blocks of copy when they're, casually, enjoying their TV experience or their app experience on TV. And as I had mentioned, as far as the scrollability, so there's a little peek as far as that there's other, content that you can actually scroll through. And as you see, you go through the experience and content would grow and morph to kind of expose more and to entice the user to actually drill into detail page to read fully, what the content is at that point. So some of the key learnings on this is the fact that you don't necessarily have to have an experience that maps ideally the same. You can have ones that are a little bit different from your Xbox and your PC, and also look at the opportunities of how you can, reshuffle things as well as change the density of it or information that's actually relayed through the experience. The next one I'm gonna show you is the audio app. So the audio app, as you see, actually looks completely different between the two screens. And I'm not going to go through the entire flow, but I'm going to illustrate at least a couple points through the app itself to help guide you through experiences you may want to design as well, like this. So this is showing an example of what the actual audio app looks like in tablet mode. As you can see, there's a ton of content being displayed all at the same time. It's a really great use of the real estate that's there. It's touchable, it's usable, someone can interact and jump around from the different appropriate places in which they want to. From playing to actually having a list, to being able to like the content that's displayed there, to being able to choose a new item to actually play or add another item to the content block to play as well in queue. The other thing is having the MTC or the player right in line with the actual app is great for an experience, when you're designing a tablet or a desktop or even a mobile experience as well. So it's really, taking in consideration of the space and utilizing it to its full capabilities. As well as, as I had mentioned, the list, being able to have more than one item kind of stacked together to fully, realize the capabilities of that. Now, for the Xbox experience, you'll notice it's completely different. It's a lot more lightweight. In the instance of the audio app, we were striving to create more of the mode of being able to actually, add to your queue and all of the actions you would to be associated with a desktop or a, tablet or mobile experience. When you would get to the Xbox experience, it would be more of a laid-back casual, I'm just enjoying it, I'm listening to a playlist, I have my friends over and we just wanna, kind of create something and enjoy it. So creating that experience to just be literally listening and enjoying it at that point. So by doing that, reducing the density of the actual content that's there, which allows for it to be more of that casual experience and less productivity. And then just, you know, keeping the actual elements in line to whatever is in focus. So for this instance, it shows the fact that the actual user is listening to that key song. So having cues that, you know, show prominence that is there. And then when it's no longer something that's being invoked, it will literally disappear and allow for the imagery to be the focus. Now this one's great in illustrating the fact that, you know, once again, you can have the same application, but completely different experiences between what is, you know, being used on one versus the other. You know, ideally in UWP, you can build an experience that works across everything in the same exact way, but you also have opportunities to really extend what those experiences are and cater them specifically for the device. And make it, you know, kind of a hero instance for each. So it's something, you know, that there's many options that you have, and you can take full advantage of all of them. Okay, so some other 10-foot examples to jump into. So I'm going to jump into Xbox Home. So this is showing, I had shown this before, so this is Xbox Home and Xbox Home PC version of it. Now, you guys should be familiar with this, I'm sure. This is showing, you know, once again, how their navigation structure is, how it's collapsed as far as the split view usage. The page, of course, is really dense. There's a lot of content going on. It's really informative. It's really helpful. And it's great for desktop, which is where it should be. They're also using, you know, recently played. Once again, it shows as far as the actual content block and my friend information. There's just a lot of, you know, that's being displayed in information, you know, that's constantly cycling through, which is great for it. You also have your friends list, which is really great. I can see what's going on with my friends instantly there. Having a ride-along experience is, you know, something great that you can utilize on a PC too. But for, you know, the Xbox Home, once again, that becomes too much content, you know, and looking at how you can actually reduce it. So using the guide is a place where we kind of roll in all of the different elements as far as our friends' activity and, you know, achievements and things like that. It actually helps with the experience. You know, it's something you can easily access. It's, you know, not necessarily out of sight, out of mind. But, you know, it's there when you need it, and otherwise you can kind of focus on the content that you need to. The other thing is, you know, the utilization, as I had mentioned, of pivots. That's something foundational within the Xbox One console experience. It's a great way to ground you, you know, as far as where you are actually placed within the system, as well as an easy way to, you know, quickly jump using your bumpers or, you know, actually navigating up to scroll through content. And then last but not least on this one is the actual MRC, and it's, you know, just the basically your recently viewed content that you have. As you see from the other instance, it was there was a lot more density as far as what was being shown and, you know, as far as the data and the content and what was going on with your friends. For this, it's definitely reduced. It's still highlighting what's important, but once again, finding that right balance between too much content versus not enough. Okay, and last but not least, let's go through the profile section for this. So this is once again the console and the desktop view of that. Okay, as you see, we have the pivots and they're left aligned for what we use for the desktop experience. It's more natural, it feels appropriate for the experience, it works really well. It's a good use of space too. The other thing is, as far as the content lockup, we have the buttons that are actually, you know, contained within the same content block as the actual, you know, the profile name and all the other content too. It works really well for, you know, desktop, for touch, for mouse. It's great that way. As well as having, you know, that friend list, having that as a ride-along experience that you can have to easily jump to the content you need. It works really well for the experience, for sure. For the Xbox, again, our pivots are centered. We find that it works a lot better as far as displaying content and also giving that flexibility of, you know, a user icon or other content that needs to be displayed to the right-hand side, as you know, or on the left-hand side on the top. So centering is definitely something that we use as a standard for Xbox experiences and that a lot of users adapt to and understand within the 10-foot Xbox experience. Another use here is showing the fact that the content has actually been split into two. So as you see, you're still showing the metadata and, you know, data that's related to the actual profile of the person on the left-hand side, but we're utilizing the right-hand side to, you know, actually contain the actionable items of buttons that you can, you know, choose to invoke to go to different areas or manage what you're doing on your profile. You know, having the separation can be really great if you want to go down that avenue, or as I had shown earlier, having the display of, you know, certain information that's less important either to the side, to the top, or in other areas to kind of break that up so that the controller can freely move and do what it needs to for the user. Okay, so we're all done with that. Now let's jump into a few tricks that you can actually do for your experience quickly and easily to kind of help you jumpstart and get your app going. So first, using a dark background with a dark theme will actually help you. It's a quick way to get your app up on the system and you know, account for the safe area. You know, removing that, you actually don't see the borders around it. So once again, it's out of sight, out of mind. Users just think it naturally works and you're great that way. Another one is make sure to let your page breathe. Reduce the density and content on the screen. I keep saying this, I can't say it enough. You know, think like it's a mobile experience. You do that, you will really make your users happy through the entire app experience they have. Okay, and the other one, reduce copy when possible, as I had mentioned. While it might be great to read a ton of text on a desktop and that might feel like a friendly experience, no one wants to read a book on a TV. So just be mindful of that and, you know, consider of how much text is too much versus, you know, just keeping it to less. And another big key one, be the user. Test out your apps from 10 feet away. I like to say even get comfortable and sit on your couch, you know, lean back, get some popcorn, you know, just really relax and, you know, experience it through their perspective. And you'll find little falls and things that you may not normally see when you're really close to it. Especially if you're testing it out on your desktop, doing an emulation of it, you won't necessarily get that full experience you would as the actual user that's sitting comfortably on their couch. Make the text readable, as I had mentioned before. This is definitely important. If they can't read it, they're going to get lost, and it will definitely reduce the quality of the experience. So make sure that people can read your content that you have on there. And that everything is readable. Make sure that you do actual, you know, peaks and affordances for content that's not visible. When I say this, I'm talking about if you have, you know, content that scrolls, you know, down below, or if it's horizontally scrolling, find ways to add color behind to separate between backgrounds, or even just make sure that the text or some of the image is visible. By doing this, it allows someone to actually continue the exploration and discovery of your content versus thinking, okay, well, all I'm seeing is what's here and it's done. So definitely something to consider as well. And then trick number seven, test with the controller. You know, just make sure, can you move around easily? Can you get where you need to? And then if possible, rearrange, you know, different elements and controls to be optimal for the controller. It will just make your experience that much better. You can also test, you know, as I had mentioned about the PC and controller, you can actually test it plugging it into your controller into your USB and actually see how it navigates through if you want to do that as well. Okay, and finally, so calls to action for optimizing your experience. So optimize for gamepad with the XY focus. The gamepad is the primary input, of course, so watch out for focus traps on that. Focus rectangle for TV, make sure your focus rack is visible, of course. Account for TV safe area, can't stress that enough. Use TV safe colors, TV safe colors. Make sure the density is reduced, of course. Make sure to integrate the SMTC. That makes sure it gives way for the BGM, remote voice, and smart glass support as well. Make sure you're accounting for Snap apps, of course, definitely. That is definitely a fundamental as well. And if you do all this stuff, you should be in good shape. So thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. And I hope you're able to create amazing experiences from what you learned.